Gentlemen and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live in the Springdale Heating and... Excuse me. That will not happen again. We are live from our friends at the Busy Bee Plumbing and Air Conditioning Studios. Busy Bee? The Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Studios. We're very, very excited that our friends at Busy Bee Plumbing are with us on this. We love you, Busy Bee. Mwah, I love you. And that won't happen again. Anywho, so Field Yates put out his updated big board. Now, I don't know how much you guys, you know, value this draft guy or that draft guy. One time I was at Barrel House when the Midday Show was on, and they were talking about, I don't know what it was, Drake May maybe. And they were like, well, Mel Kiper says this, but Tim Hasselbeck says that. And Willie just goes, well, I mean, I care a lot more about what Tim has to say than I do about what Mel Kiper says. And I laughed out loud. I was like, yeah, you know, make a point there. But we had Field on at the Super Bowl. And I know that Field has worked in the NFL. He worked with the Patriots in the front office for a while. And Field's a really bright dude. After we had him on at the Super Bowl, there were so many texts into the text line that people that were like, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. So when I see that ESPN has Field Yates top 50 updated, I immediately this morning ran by to click it. I was like, I got to see this. And then I was thinking, okay, what are kind of the headlines from this? The first is Field Yates ranks Joe Alt as the seventh best player in the draft. He's got three quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. And three wide receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze, ahead of all. And that's fine. And it kind of falls in line with my main thinking of this draft, which is I think that there are probably seven elite prospects in this draft. I think there's a lot of first-round players. Like Amarius Mims out of Georgia, who is not a finished product, is a legitimate first-round player, and he'll still probably be on the board at 18 or 19. That means it's a deep draft. Most drafts have about 16 first-round prospects in them. I think this draft has seven, you know, elite prospects in them. Caleb Williams, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt, Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, and Drake May. And I am a believer in Drake May. The more I've thought about it, the more I've decided, like, I'm not going to let the fact that, well, this draft analyst doesn't like draft, I'm not going to let that. I think it's got about seven elite prospects. And clearly Field has Alt there at seven, which means that if you were to take Alt with the seventh pick, it would not be a reach, which is important to note. The second thing Field has in there that I noticed was three tackles reside in the top 14 between 12 and 14. So at 12, he has J.C. Latham. At 13, he has Troy Faatanu. And at 14, he has Olu Fashanu. What does that mean? I think it means that the Titans, if they were to trade out, and I still have a hard time on this J.J. McCarthy front, I still have a hard time thinking that Minnesota's really going to trade up to four or trade up to five in order to get J.J. when he's probably not one of the elite players of this draft, which means that a trade up to seven is a lot more likely. Again, I've thrown out this proposed trade, which is 7, 22, and 108 to the Titans. No, excuse me. 11, 23, and 108 to the Titans in exchange for 7 and 38. And a lot of you were like, I don't want to give up 38, Jared. I'm like, that's why they're trading with you, and they're not trading with Arizona. Because if they're just going to give up the two first-round picks and not get 38 back, they just trade with Arizona, get to 4, and get J.J. But again, if you trade out of that pick, you lose what seems like a certainty that Joe Alt will be available with that pick, which means you'd have to take one of the second tackles. But if you're trading back to 11 and Latham, Faatanu, and Fashanu are all there and they're similarly graded, like Field Yates has them graded, then you can very much get your starting left tackle with that same pick that you were going to use. And you get that 108, plus you get that other higher pick than 38. And here's the other one that kind of stood out to me. J.J. McCarthy at 21 on Field Yates' big board. Look, Field Yates isn't the greatest talent evaluator of all time. And we should note the uncertainty of the quarterback position. Bill Walsh came out before the 96 draft. Excuse me, the 93 draft. Bill Walsh came out before the 93 draft, and he said that Rick Meyer was the next Joe Montana. So even the smartest coach maybe of all time, they get it wrong. But Field has JJ at 21. Here's my question to everybody. Can you really draft the 21st best player with the fourth pick? Mel's big board that came out last week has J.J. McCarthy at 14. So if J.J. is the 14th best player in one, he's the 21st best player in another, chances are J.J. McCarthy is probably somewhere around the 12th to 25th best prospect in this draft. So let's stick that right in the middle at 18 or 19. You can't draft the 18th or the 17th best player in a draft with the fourth overall pick. You can't trade two first rounders to move up to take the 14th best player or the 21st best player in a draft, which, again, I think now makes it more likely that Minnesota is probably looking at Tennessee at 7 as the opportunity to grab McCarthy, because Denver doesn't have two first-round picks they can deal with to jump them. But Denver doesn't need two first-round picks to get from 12 to 9 with Chicago. They probably do in order to make the kind of trade with Minnesota or with Tennessee that Minnesota could make. So I just found that fascinating when I looked at Field's big board and I saw that, hey, Alt, 7th best player, which means that if you take him with the 7th pick, you're fine. You're not reaching at that point. Elite-level prospect. Three tackles, 12 through 14, Latham, Faletanu, and Fashanu, which means you could trade down. And then J.J. McCarthy at 21. How can this J.J. hype be real if he's really the 21st best player? Also, Field had three tackles in the top 30. Fuaga at 17, Guyton out of Oklahoma at 24, and Mims out of Georgia at 26. So if we keep talking about this hypothetical J.J. McCarthy trade with Minnesota, what you're doing is you're going to allow yourself to take your second tackle, because those guys should still be on the board there where they won't be on the board come 38, most likely. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on that. Plus, one name keeps climbing up the guru's draft boards, and it very much has to do with the Titans, and it very much has a decision the Titans had to make last year attached to it. We'll do that coming up next. Again, we are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. And let me tell all the fine folks out there that Wednesday, is your opportunity to come check out Smashville Live, the Predators Player Show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock. See your Predator star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. And this week's special guests are Spencer Stastny and Mark Jankowski. My guy, Ian, who had a goal the other day, by the way.
Expect to see you there after the show.
I mean, Jankowski, well, I'm getting my puppy that day, so I don't think I'll be doing that. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
At the Washington Pro Day, Rome Odunze stood on his times from the combine. They were outstanding. Why bother? If it wasn't broken, don't fix it. And the two offensive tackles, Mel, nothing that you and I haven't talked about already in our evaluations of Troy Fatutanu and also Roger Rosengarten. And obviously we've watched plenty of tape on those two players, but it is a sight to be seen watching these two men move in space. They are not your average offensive tackles athletically. We think Fautanu is a lock in the first round. We think Rosengarten is a lock to go in the first two rounds, and they certainly look the part there in Seattle on Thursday. Those two men can move. They are incredibly fluid. Let me just say, there is just a bunch of rock star humans at that Washington football program. I don't know that you can collectively measure football character, but it had to be very close to the top of the NCAA last year.
Okay, Field Yates talking about the Washington Pro Day, and the one name that he mentioned that I want to highlight here is Troy Fautanu, because it feels like Troy Fautanu is skyrocketing up these draft boards. We talked about how Mel Kiper has Joe Walt on his big board as the eighth best player. He has Fauatanu on his big board as the ninth best player. Field has Fauatanu as the 13th best player on his board. But it was funny because I was talking about Fauatanu on Friday, and Robbie Stanley texted me and goes, oh, great, another guard. And that is the one kind of knock on Fauatanu, is that he's got that same Peter Skoronski question when it comes to, is he a guard or is he a tackle? Now, he's got arms that are 2 inches longer than Skoronski's, and whenever it comes to why can't Peter Skoronski play tackle, all anybody ever tells me is it's his arm length. So here's what Field Yates wrote at ESPN about Troy Fauatanu. He says, quote, Fauatanu spent the past two seasons as the front side protector for Michael Penix Jr., though he might wind up settling at guard in the NFL. Field writes, I would play him at left tackle, though. Wherever he plays, his footwork and competitive spirit give him a chance to be a star. Concerns about length, which prompted the chatter of moving to guard, were assuaged at the combine when he measured in with a 34.5-inch arm. So a couple things on Fauatanu. First, yes, he played left tackle, but we need to remember that Michael Penix is left-handed. So why does that matter? J.C. Latham, we talk about him at Alabama and how maybe the Titans draft J.C. Latham and they decide to do what Bill Callahan did in Cleveland with Jedrick Wills, which was move him from right tackle over to left tackle. The problem with that is when Jedrick Wills played right tackle at Alabama, Tua was the starting quarterback there, and Tua is left-handed. Penix is left-handed. So let's keep that in mind, which might be, you know, a positive for Rosengartner, the other guy. But again, we're talking about left tackle for a right-handed quarterback. The second thing is, if there's a question about whether or not Fautanu's a guard or a tackle, Bill Callahan better say, I'm playing him at left tackle. I know he can play left tackle. I'm not worried about him and his arms or his length or his butt or his shins or whatever. Because if you draft him and it's a, well, we don't know if he's going to be a, we don't know if he's going to be a guard or a tackle, you can't do that. Because you've already done that. You already have one player on your team who is that, well, is he a guard or is he a tackle? And then you spent a whole year trying to figure that out. And you also can't suck so bad in back-to-back years that you draft guards in the first round. Because the last thing you want to do is draft Skoronski 2.0. But then the final question on Fauatanu is, what's the drop-off between him and Alt? Mel says it's not that big. That the difference between Alt and Fauatanu is the eighth best player in the draft compared to the ninth best player. Field says it's the seventh best player to the 13th best player. Well, what does that mean? Because again, moving from 7 to 11 or 7 to 12 or 7 to whatever could mean a lot in terms of the picks and things that you may be able to acquire. And thus, it's like, well, if it's not that big of a drop off from Alt to Fauatanu, make the move. If it's not that big of a drop from Alt to Fashnu, which it feels like it is, make the move. But if not, then just take Alt and be done with it. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Kyle has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the Titans. Thank you for calling. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Jared. And Ian. I'm so out on that trade up to 4. I can't even imagine that. Like, that's just make-believe stuff.
Somebody trading up to 4 for J.J. McCarthy?
Well, the Titans maybe trading up to get Joe Alt and all that, too. Or
who's
something.
Saying that's, they're going to do that?
That's been rumored. Anywho, I would be okay if Joe Alt is still there and say, like, the Raiders are offering you their first and second pick. Wouldn't you just want to trade back and get Mims from Georgia? We got Bill Callahan. They say this guy has just as much talent as any left tackle in this draft. Best left tackle coach or line coach in the game. I think that's perfect. Get you an extra second round pick that can get you right tackle and that defensive pass rusher you need. I'm in for that. I love Joe Alt, but if Troy or Mims as good as they say they can be, let's go.
Well, I think the difference, though, is that Alt has started 34 consecutive games at left tackle, and I think Mims has started like 8 games in his career.
That's true, but you know, Bill can teach him, man. I believe in him. He took Darwin Jones from Ohio State.
DeJuan Jones. Right.
Yeah, and look at what he's doing, man. So
right. Shoot. But DeJuan Jones didn't get in there. Thank you for your call. DeJuan Jones, first of all, DeJuan Jones fell from the second round to the third round because there were concerns that he was lazy. Like, that's what happened. I mean, he weighed in at the combine and was like 380-something. And then he wouldn't weigh in at pro day. What's that tell you? So NFL teams got spooked and thought, well, he's probably 400 pounds, 415 pounds or something like that. They probably thought he was a lazy fat ass. That's probably what happened. And so that's why he fell a little bit. Secondly, DeJuan Jones didn't have to go in until later in the year. And when we're talking about drafting Amarius Mims, who doesn't have a lot of experience, we're not talking about drafting Amarius Mims and keeping him on the bench until November. We're talking about drafting Amarius Mims and him starting week one. And I don't, there's a big difference between the two. And so, I mean, to me, like Mims, I'm skeptical on Mims because of the experience. The thing about Alt, what it feels like to me, is that when it comes to Joe Alt, you're getting the sure thing, right? Think of this like a coaching search, right? We are a college football program, and we are looking for the next head coach at Jared Stillman State University. In this case, the Titans are looking for their next franchise left tackle to follow Taylor Lewan, Michael Roos, Brad Hopkins, Mike Munchak. Alt is the surest thing. Everybody else has some sort of massive question. Faltanu, is he a tackle? Is he a guard? I don't know. Latham, can he move from the right side to the left side? Mims, doesn't have a lot of experience, got hurt at the combine, got hurt at pro day. Fashnu, got the baby hands. Everybody else has some sort of question mark around him except for Alt. So again, if this were a coaching search and we were Jared Stillman State University and we had two different coaches, we could say, okay, we can pay $9 million for Nick Saban. And we know we're going to win with Nick Saban. Or we could hire the guy at Lafayette State who has just reeled off like three straight seasons where they're really good and he's the next great up-and-coming coach. But we'll have to pay him $3 million. That's the difference here, in my opinion. 615-737-1025. More your phones. 615-737-1025. Though there is a little nugget about Field Yates' board that actually shapes up pretty well for the Titans. We'll do that coming up next here on our program. Twice daily. I was at Twice Daily yesterday. I went to boxing, and then after boxing, I was like, it is Sunday. I want a bagel. So I went right to the kiosk, and I ordered a turkey bagel with honey mustard and two egg whites, and it was fabulous. Oh, my goodness. Twice Daily has all of your cravings, too, and you can save on every visit. So stop in and get rewarded. All you need to do is join the Twice Daily Rewards program to unlock special discounts, savings, and enter their sweepstakes, and so much more. Try their new wraps like the Italian, ham and cheddar, turkey and Swiss, and their Nashville hot chicken. They're made to order with your favorite toppings, and when you download the Twice Daily app, you can order ahead. Or at Twice Daily, it's snack time all the time. And they've got your favorites like chicken fingers, tater rounds, and the brand spanking new pretzels. Twice Daily, what are you craving?
You mentioned the idea of trading from like 7 to 14. There, to me, are definitely 100% high-level tackle prospects that should be there at pick number 14. Olufoshanu from Penn State could be there. Tyler Guyton, an offensive tackle from Oklahoma, could still be there. Marius Mims, an offensive tackle from Georgia. He and Guyton might need a little bit of time, but if you saw them walk in around this room, and you and I are in a room right now that's got a ton of current and former athletes who, you know, are sort of like, you know, built from, you know, like they look like gods. Those two right there, Tyler Guyton and Marius Mims, are like they arrived from offensive line factory. Like they are born to be offensive tackles. They're huge, imposing, very gifted players, just need a little bit more experience. Those guys are going to be available at 14.
There you go. That was Field Yates on our show at the Super Bowl talking about, hey, you know, you trade back, you'll still be able to get a tackle. But one thing that Field did caution us on at the Super Bowl was, hey, there are a lot of teams that are good teams that need tackles. Dallas needs a tackle. Cincinnati needs a tackle. Kansas City needs a tackle. There are good teams that need tackles. So, again, Field Yates put out his top 50, his big board today. And as much as we could talk about the top and seven and alt and everything else, Field's board is stacking up very nicely for the Titans at 38. Here are the picks from 33 to 42, and I took out a couple of positions that I don't necessarily think the Titans will go after. So at 33, he's got Jordan Morgan, the right tackle from Arizona. At 34, he's got Edgerrin Cooper, the inside linebacker at Texas A&M. You could use a right tackle. You could use an inside backer, though I am nervous about the idea of an inside backer wearing the green dot who's a rookie. At 36 on Fields' big board, he has Ladd McConkey, the receiver out of Georgia. At 38, which is where you're picking, Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver out of Florida, is on Field Yates' big board. And again, I think we can say that receiver is still somewhat of a need. Xavier Worthy at 39, Keon Coleman at 42. Now, Worthy is the speed guy, and because he ran a 4.21 at the combine, everybody thinks Kansas City will take him at 32. There might be another reason, by the way, why Kansas City takes him at 32. Did you see where Rashee Rice did over the weekend?
Heard about that, yeah.
Woof! So, but again, he's got him at 39, and he's got Keon Coleman, who TD swears by Keon Coleman. He ran a 4.6 at the combine. He was very productive at Florida State. You know, kind of more of the big body, catches the ball, like the running back receiver type receiver is kind of more Keon Coleman's game. And he's at 42. So again, we're talking about 38. You can pick the 42nd best player with the 38th pick. He's also got on Fields' big board, which again, we talk about trading down out of seven. We never talk about trading down out of 38. But he's got two tackles, Kingsley Suamataya out of BYU at 45. And then he's got Peyton Wilson, the inside backer, who again, TD raves about, out of NC State, and we played NC State this year, Louisville did, and he was making every play on the field. And they have him at 46. So again, in theory, at 38, you could trade out. Now, I'm not going to say 38's as important as 7, but 38, given the amount of holes that this team has, 38 is pretty damn important. And Fields' board shakes up very nicely for what the Titans could or could not want. One texter says, Jared, on the topic of the Titans trading back in the draft, do we trust Rand Carthon with the extra picks that the Titans would get in return? It's pretty hard to screw up a top seven pick, although he did draft a guard at pick 11 last year. It's much easier to screw up the mid to late first round and everything thereafter. In my opinion, texter says, we should stick with quality over quantity. That decreases the chances that Rand and Chad Brinker end up bombing the draft by trying to act like the smartest guys in the room, mansplaining analytics to us as they reach on a bunch of mid-first-round picks. Who wrote this email? I mean, this text. Sounds like a soul after my heart. You know, I mean, just banging on Rand. I mean, let me just say this. And I've said this for a long time. I want Rand to be successful. And I saw Matt Jones say this. Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio, he thinks Calipari and Kentucky should break up. But then when it was announced that Calipari would be returning, he says he's rooting for Calipari. I believe him. He says, look, just because it's not my way doesn't mean that I don't want what's best for Kentucky. I feel the same way about the Titans. I want Rand to be successful. I have said this about John Robinson, and I'll say this about Rand Carthon, which is people used to text into the text line and say, well, who cares about the picks anyways? Let's just go try to trade them and get players because we don't pick good players anyways, Jared. And to everybody that would say that, I'd say, if you don't think your general manager can pick players, you need to fire your general manager. So if you're in the position that Amy's in, of deciding, you know, they're going to run these decisions by her. She's the owner. And they say, well, Amy, we really like this idea. You know, the drop-off between Alt at 7 and Fauatanu or Fashnu at 14 or at 11 is this, and the extra picks we'll get are this and this, and we think we should do it. Amy should say yes. and then should expect Ram to hit on those picks. Now, the thing about the draft is you're not going to, at any point, you're not going to hit on every draft choice. One of these second rounders that they could acquire, if they acquire an extra second rounder, could be a total bust. A John Robinson drafted Kevin Dodd and Derrick Henry in the same second round. So he's not going to hit on all of them. And it would be unreasonable to expect Rand to hit on all of these. But as long as Rand is the general manager, I think that the Titans have to have faith that if Rand thinks that a trade out of seven and the drop off from Alt to Fashanu, or the drop off from Alt to Faltanu, or Mims, or Jordan Morgan, or whoever, if he thinks that that drop off is not large enough to stop him from acquiring the other picks, then go ahead and let him. And if he fails, fire him. So I'm not going to say, no, don't trade back, because I don't trust you to make those picks. Because if that's the way you feel, then you should fire your general manager. Just like I told you guys last year when we talked about quarterbacks, and you guys kept texting in saying, what makes you believe that this coaching staff can develop a quarterback? I said, if you don't think you can develop a quarterback, you fire your coach. Because this is the NFL. One texter says, there's no such thing in the draft as a sure thing. They said that the Titans are getting a sure thing in Skoronski. Agreed. I've seen a lot of guys that I'm like, that's a solid first round pick. I like the guy in college. He's going to be a good fit in the NFL. And then it's like, what the hell ever happened to Jerry Jeudy? Right? Like, I mean, we talk about Jerry Jeudy. I thought Jerry Jeudy coming out of Alabama was going to be the next guy. I thought he was going to be the next Amari Cooper, the next Julio Jones, the next great Alabama receiver. And I know he just got $41 million guaranteed, but I think Jerry Jeudy kind of sucks. Alex from Franklin says, why are we falling for Jim Harbaugh's smokescreen about drafting Joe Alt when they have Rashawn Slater? Jim Harbaugh is trying to swindle Rand Carthon by taking the Titans draft picks. I do not think that Jim Harbaugh is going to, at least he hasn't to me, effectively convince me that he's going to take Alt. What seems infinitely more likely, first off, I think if Harrison's there, they're going to take him. Secondly, I think what's infinitely more likely is that they move out of that spot and they go for one of these right tackles. Because, again, they have a left tackle. Latham is a right tackle. I remember Jack Conklin played left tackle in college. And so there was always the idea when the Titans were negotiating Lawan's second contract that the Titans could, in theory, trade Lawan and move Conklin over from right tackle to left tackle. And the GM said, Jack's a right tackle. I said, well, he played left tackle in college. And the GM said, I don't care. He said, Jack is a right tackle. And the difference between him and Lawan is leaner, a little bit longer. Jack's thicker, you know, kind of wider. And so I do think there's kind of a difference there. And so a guy like Latham probably is a right tackle. And if you're the Chargers, why would you want to take a left tackle, move him to right tackle, when you could move down, take a right tackle, and get more picks? One texter says, what if Rand is way smarter than John Robinson and actually does hit on all of his draft picks, again, like he did last year? See, this is what I'm talking about. What if he hits on him like he did last year, Jared? Hits on him. The Athletic gave him a C- for last year's draft. They drafted a guard in the first round with the 11th pick. We don't even know if he's good. They drafted a quarterback in the second round. We don't know if he's good. And they drafted a running back in the third round. And again, you're going to draft a running back in the third round. That needs to be your starting running back. That they just went and got an $8 million running back to go with him. So I'm not going to say that it was a terrible draft. I thought C- in the Athletic last week was too harsh. But when you say hits on all of his picks this year like he did last year, I'm like, hit on all of his picks last year? Says who? You? We don't even know if Skoronski's good. We don't know if Levis is going to make it or not. Levis might be Kenny Pickett. I don't know. Let's stop throwing parades. I'm not going to chuck him under the bus for the draft, but I'm not going to give him credit either. It's unbelievable. 615-737-1025. Speaking of passes, I gave the Predators a pass for Thursday night. Saturday, they don't get a pass. And they've lost two in a row after that heater. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Want to welcome aboard our friends at the Tennessee Men's Clinic. Very, very excited to tell you about them. And so I just want to tell everybody, look, you've put this off for way too long. It's time to get it done. Move forward with that sex life. And the Tennessee Men's Clinic is the leader in bedroom confidence. Look, I'm going to tell you guys this right now. A lot of you guys are probably embarrassed to talk about this. A lot of people are probably like, I don't want to talk about ED. I don't want to. But this show has always been the show. It's going to tell like it is. So for you guys out there that need it, I'm telling you right now. You need the Tennessee Men's Clinic. The reality is the pills often quit working and guys start making excuses for not coming to bed. Did you know that studies show that men will be more irritable and argumentative before bed just to avoid failing at intimacy? I did not know that. But hey, just keep that in mind. And I know a lot of you hate going to the doctor, but the Tennessee Men's Clinic was created in 2014 to take care of guys just like you. For a decade, the urologists and the providers of the Tennessee Men's Clinic have helped guys with ED weight loss, and they now even offer aesthetic enhancements and cosmetic procedures. Their ED and weight loss treatments truly change lives, and with no surgery, they are seeing success at rates as high as 90%. They specialize in seeing guys who think they're out of luck regain hope that they can be successful in the bedroom and beyond. They even offer same-day or next-day appointments. Call 615-208-9090. That's 615-208-9090, or go online to TennesseeMen'sClinic.com to book an appointment today. That's TennesseeMen'sClinic.com.
Forsberg tries to whip a pass, and the puck comes back out now to the Nashville zone. Dante Fabro called up. Caglianos blocked it, and the shot and the score. Yakov Trenin. His former team pay for a turnover in the Nashville zone. His characteristic leap against the glass in celebration.
Oh, it hurt. Oh, it hurt on Saturday. Predators get a lead. Predators get a big lead. Predators knock the other team's goalie out. The other team's goalie so mad he fires the puck out of the net. He gets an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And just like that, the Predators are back on the power play. Everything was going right. And then they fell apart, and they lost to Colorado on Saturday. Now, I said on Thursday, when the Predators lost, that I was going to give them a pass. Look, you're not going to win every game. They'd had points in 18 straight. They got up 2-0. They got a little cocky. And after they got cocky up 2-0, the game completely fell apart, and they gave up a bunch of goals. Saturday, they do not get a pass. And here's why they don't get a pass from me for Saturday. Because I look at these games like measuring stick playoff kind of games. I think it is very likely that you will play the Colorado Avalanche in the first round of the playoffs. Now, if you don't win any more games, you won't. But I think it's likely you're going to catch Winnipeg. Colorado's going to be number two. And you're going to play the Colorado Avalanche in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And those are the kind of games that you have to win. You're on the road. You have a multi-goal lead. Something bad happens. You cannot fall apart. And that's what happened on Saturday. Ryan McDonagh got tossed from the game, and they awarded a 5-minute match penalty and, you know, the major that goes with it on McDonagh for a shot to the head, which I thought was a fair call. Now, the TV broadcast thought it was a bad call, and Pred's Twitter thought it was a bad call. Oh, my God, the bitching was just, that's not, he was going with the shoulder, he wasn't. It was unfortunate. But McDonagh hit the guy in the head. It was a headshot. The only thing, I'm surprised he's playing tomorrow. I'm surprised he's not suspended. And if he had led with the elbow over the shoulder, then they would have suspended him. My gut tells me Because, again, I don't know Ryan McDonough very well, but I feel like I probably know him well enough to tell you that he's not a headhunter. I mean, we've seen him play now for 2 years. He's not Ryan Hartman. By the way, did you see Ryan Hartman's in some hot water?
Yeah.
Did he throw his stick at a ref?
Something like that, yeah. Towards the ref, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a difference between that and what Ryan McDonough's done over the 2 years he's been here. It was unfortunate. You know, I don't know if the puck hung up against the wall for an extra second.
Yeah, it was not a suspendable hit, but.
I thought he was getting suspended when I saw it.
Yeah, no, not quite there. Not quite to that level, I don't think. There's no real intent there.
So that's why. Because there wasn't an. What happened was McDonough went for the hit, and I think the puck got caught up a little bit.
Took a weird bounce, yeah.
And so the guy's trying to adjust to it, and McDonough's going in for the hit, and instead his shoulder goes right into the guy's head. That's going to get you thrown out of games in today's NHL. And instead of the whining and crying about the officiating, which a lot of people wanted to result to, the game was totally different after that penalty. But instead of the whining and crying of that hit, the way I looked at it was there are going to be plays that you don't like and calls that are made that you don't like and bad bounces in the playoffs. And you have to overcome them. You cannot let one bad call like that cost you a game that you have a multi-goal lead in on the road in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, the Predators played the oldest trick in the book, which was starting Kevin Lankinen on the road at Colorado. Here's why. When you start the backup goalie on the road and you lose, you can internalize, well, we played our backup goalie. So even though it might have been a playoff preview, they can't get too confident and we can't get too down on ourselves because we didn't play our starting goalie. I saw Winnipeg come in here and do that in 2018 in a game that essentially decided the division, and they started Michael Hutchison, and the Predators ran his ass out of there. And I mean, they just brought the boom, and I knew that Winnipeg could say, well, we didn't play Connor Hellebuck. And then the Predators went on the road to Winnipeg about a week later, and they started UC Saros instead of Pekarinen. So that's kind of the oldest trick in the book, which is why Kevin Lankinen started on Saturday. But I don't think it makes a difference who plays in net with the Predators, because the Predators melted down on Thursday and Saros was in net. They melted down on Saturday and Lankinen was in net. So when you get into the playoffs, there is going, just like I told you after you won the Vegas game on the controversial non-offside call, that's the kind of thing that's going to decide a playoff game or maybe even a playoff series. And so I watched that game Saturday, and I wanted to see how the Predators were going to respond to Thursday, but also the matchup with Colorado. Because even though the Predators, Adam Vingan will say, all the analytics say that this is not a fluky run for the Predators, that the Predators are actually, you know, good. All of these people can just, nobody can believe that they'll beat the Colorado Avalanche. Nobody. It's like, well, yeah, but the Avalanche, I mean, they're so good, and there's no way, and yeah, I know the Predators smoked them at Bridgestone Arena. There's no way they can beat them. And I wanted to see how they matched up. And the Predators, for the first 30 minutes of the, I mean, they absolutely stuck it to the Avs. Then the McDonough hit happens. The Predators are playing with five defensemen, and they totally fall apart. And I hated that because you cannot do that in the playoffs and expect to win. I think we all know that the Predators are going to have to steal one in Denver if they end up playing in the playoffs. That's the kind of game you have to take. When you get a couple of goals early, you cannot let momentum get out of hand. You've got to hold it. And they couldn't do it Saturday. And I was really, really disappointed that they were not able to hold it together and find a way to pull out a victory when they had a big lead on Saturday night. I gave them a pass Thursday. I'm not giving them a pass for last night. One texter says, McDonough was a guest coach for one of my son's hockey teams, and he emphasized hard physical hockey is great, but cheap and dirty hits are inexcusable. It seems to match his play while he's here. I doubt he was intentionally trying to headhunt. Did anybody say McDonough was trying to headhunt? I mean, I I didn't think he was trying to headhunt. But again, those kind of things are going to happen in the playoffs. Like, it's just, it's reality. It's okay. But we have to look at these games and say, okay, if you're in the playoffs and a defenseman goes down, because I kept hearing on the radio broadcast at the end of the game, you know, they're rolling 5D, rolling 5D, rolling 5D. Well, if somebody gets hurt in the middle of a game, which happens, you're going to be rolling 5D. Also, I know it was his first game back. Holy crap, did Dante Fabbro suck. Woof! I mean, I was really starting to feel like we were getting to a place with Fabbro where I could trust him. And maybe it was his first game back, but on that trending goal we played on that cut coming back from break, what a sorry attempt to get that puck out of the zone by Fabbro. Like, why not just put it right in front of the net for the Colorado players to shoot it? Because he was so afraid of the guy behind him that it was this panic, just put it right up against the board to hopefully it'll get somewhere, and it did, right to their player. Unbelievable. One texter says that the Predators are now tied in the standings with the Vegas Golden Knights. I have noticed that. It says, thanks to John Hines, because he pulled the goalie in overtime and it backfired again. And Hines is still screwing up everything for the Predators. I mean, there's no guarantee they would have won. I don't have a problem with Hines pulling the goalie. I mean, he's made it obvious they have to win every game and get 2 points in every game on their way out. I didn't have a problem with that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I don't have a problem when people want to look at the positive. I have been accused of always wanting to look at the negative, and I don't think that's true. I don't have a problem with embracing positivity. But I do have a problem when people discourage admitting what happened in games. And there is something that happened yesterday that you've got to admit. And if not, you're lying to everybody, including yourself. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.